This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, Ren, some listeners would be surprised to know that there is some structure to our madness behind the mic. Two episodes that we're going to consistently do over each month is Ask Us Anything and our book club. Ask Us Anything we're going to do on the last episode of every month. We're giving you guys the opportunity to ask us literally any question you want. It doesn't have to be equity.
Literally.
It doesn't have to be equities related, although we will do our best to answer the equity ones. Hit us up on our website, equitymates.com. There's a section there, Ask Us Anything, and hit us up with a question, and we will then answer that on the last episode of our month. And Ren, book club?
Well, to answer the most common question that everyone's asking, the way that Bryce keeps his hair so perfect, it's fake. It's a wig that he pulls out for photos. But ask us anything other than that.
It is funny that that's the most common question
yeah,
asked.
Yeah. I get it. I ask myself it every day. In terms of book club, reading is a great way to learn about investing. We keep hearing it in our interviews, so we figured, how do we take our listeners on a journey and make us read a little bit more ourselves? We started a book club. Jump on our website, equitymates.com/book club. You can see the book we're reading. You can buy it. You can read it. Not on our website, but you can read the book, listen to the episode, join the book club. It's great.
First episode of every month, we'll review the book that we read previously and also let you know what book we're going to be reading for the coming month. So that's Ask Us Anything, last episode of every month. Book club first of every month, and then in between it's going to be a random mayhem fest, so get on board.
Yeah.
Equity Minds. I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is useful.
Equity.
Welcome to another episode of Equity Mates, a podcast where we will help you learn to invest in 20 minutes or less. We break down the world of investing from beginning to dividend so that you can hopefully make some returns. My name's Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going, bro?
I'm very good, Bryce. How are you?
I'm very good as well.
That's
good. Our last episode of our summer series where we deep dive into an Australian company chosen by random. How do you feel about that?
I have really enjoyed it, actually. I think we probably haven't found a lot of companies we would invest in, although I got to say that the first company that we talked about, Baby Bunting,
yes,
has been getting a lot of heat recently.
It has.
Blowing up. But the other ones, not so much.
Yeah, not so much.
But I've enjoyed it. It's been a good exercise.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been a really good exercise for us to recap on a few sort of fundamentals when it comes to researching, learn a few new ways of going about researching and valuing different industries, because we've discovered that, you know, valuing Baby Bunting in retail is completely different to trying to value, say, for example, last week's, what was the company? Beribus or whatever it was, oil and gas.
Doremus,
yeah. Oil and gas. So we've had a good mix. We've had retail, we've had mining exploration in lithium, cobalt, we've had oil exploration, sort of investing, and we have had...
Here we go.
What was the fourth one? GPT. It was...
Yeah, there we go.
but I can't remember for the life of me what it did.
What are some of our mates obsessed with collapsing at the moment?
Obsessed with collapsing? Yeah. Housing, that was it. It was the real estate investment trust. Yeah, nice. REIT, that's right.
Yeah.
So a great mix, I think. Stoked that we didn't finish up with five exploration companies.
We could have gone deep on exploration.
True.
We could have been mineral experts.
And today, another one that we haven't discussed, and this is, you've been really, really talking the big game with this one. You've got something that you're
easy. Let's tone it down. let's not talk it up too much. But there is something that I want to talk about. But we'll get there.
So today, Ren, we are going to be talking about Prime Financial Group Limited. PFG is the ASX ticker. And for those of you who have just joined the show, welcome. Ren and I, as we have said, have been deep diving into companies. And the way that we came up with these companies was to type the first two letters of the ticker into the ASX website, and whatever the first suggestion was, we would go with. And that happened to be PFG for our last one. So, Ren, as always, we'll start with what the company does, and we'll finish with the financials and a bit of evaluation. Is there anything in particular you want to throw in the middle?
No. Let's just see where we go.
Okay.
Fast and loose.
So PFG, Prime Financial Group.
Yeah. Every time you say PFG, all I can think about is Big Friendly Giant.
Well, that's BFG, mate.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware.
Well, hopefully you're not going to start waffling on about Roald Dahl and the Big Friendly Giant when we're going to be discussing a company that is in the financial sector. It's a diversified financial
sector. Anyway, that is why they pay you the big bucks.
Diversified financials is its industry group. So what does PFG do? It's a national, I guess, financial services and advisory group, and it has three main offerings, I guess. It's got a wealth management service, an accounting and service, I guess, and self-managed super fund service, and then also a capital advisory service, and manages, I think, just over $1 billion, which when I last looked at it. It does everything from financial planning, investment advice, asset protection, life insurance, superannuation, all that sort of stuff. And it's got hubs and locations all throughout Australia.
Yeah.
So let's crack in, Ren. Any, as we said, three major sort of branches to it, I guess, wealth management, accounting and capital. Anything you want to add to that?
No, I think you summed it up nicely. I think this could be wrong, but for my mind, it made me, everything about this company just screamed out like the sort of financial advisor that has a shop front in main street or like a mall or something.
Yeah, it's your one-stop shop is the vibe that I was getting. It's we don't specialize in one thing. We try and cover everything. And
like, do you have money questions? We'll give you the answer sort of vibe.
Yeah. And charge you for it and probably not the best answer that you want.
Yeah, and like big for small businesses that need to raise capital or need accounting services or business advisory services. And then for individuals, sort of wealth management, self-managed super, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, as you said, $1.1 billion in funds under management, and 46% of its revenue comes from that wealth management business. Then another 46% of its revenue comes from accounting and business advisory services. So that's more the stuff that it would do for small business owners. And then there's another 8% of other sort of financial services and advice. That's the remaining 8% of its revenue.
Interesting.
So one thing I found quite interesting was they talked a big game about diversifying from their non-core assets. And that this was what they were talking about in their annual reports and some of their releases to the market that you can find on their website or on the ASX website. And then it just slips in there that it has started a venture capital fund.
What?
Yeah, I know.
I missed that.
Yeah. Really? I'm very convinced that... So the context is, in the lead up to 2008, there were a lot of stories about people starting hedge funds. Hedge funds were sort of the in vogue thing at the time. And, you know, people would make an exit from a tech company or would retire from the business world and would start their own hedge fund. And then a lot of them got wiped out in 08-09.
Yeah.
But it was, at that time, it was the very in vogue thing for companies and for smart people to do. I'm very convinced that venture capital is that of our time. That the amount of people that are VCs or starting VC funds, why is this company started?
Well, yeah, okay. Have they made any significant investments away from their core assets? So I'm assuming what they do is then, I guess they go and acquire, say, parts of accounting businesses or whatever it may be to sort of grow, I guess. And so what they're saying now is that they want to stray away from those sorts of acquisitions or investments into what? Do you have any idea?
Not a lot of detail, but my just main issue is what is their comparative advantage in the venture world? And then all this money tries to flow in to find the next startup. And then they chase riskier and riskier opportunities with worse and worse terms because there's so much money crowding into the space. And I'm not sure, I just can't get the image of a shopfront in the Brisbane suburbs servicing pensioners and
small mums businesses. And dads.
Yeah. And it's what's their deal flow like? I don't know. I just think, in terms of giving this company your money to find best rates of return, I think their core business is this small business advisory and wealth management services. And stuff like that. It's not finding the next, Atlassian out in the suburbs. But anyway,
that's a good point. I wonder what's driving them to do that. Is it that they're not getting the growth that shareholders are expecting from their core asset business? I wonder, the reason that a lot of these businesses do go into the venture capital, I guess, is to find growth opportunities. But as you said, whether or not they're successful at it is probably the big question.
Yeah. And look, we're probably being disparaging. I'm sure they have a reason to do it. And look, what would make sense if they're using the buzzword venture capital to sort of make it sound sexy and attract investors, but really what they are doing is essentially offering not a banking service, but sort of growth capital for some of the small businesses that they're advising, and then they can sort of become a one-stop shop where they are offering accounting services, business advisory services, helping raise capital. But if it is, a small amount of capital, then maybe they're the ones providing the capital. So look, maybe it's just a label. Maybe it does sort of fit in more with their core business. I just thought it was funny that, everyone wants to be a venture capitalist these days. It's sort of the sexy and in vogue thing to do. And
seems that's
come across to Australia as well.
Yeah. Good point. Something to watch, I guess.
Yeah. So let's talk about their financials. Unless do you have much about the industry that you want to discuss or?
No.
Fair enough. I
actually didn't go into any industry research with this one for no particular reason, really. I just didn't get around to it.
So I think if people are thinking about investing in a company like this, the main things to think about are obviously who the competition is, but what are the points of difference between this business advisor and wealth management company and the plenty of others that are out there, both publicly listed and private. And then you would want to drill down into sort of how sticky the customers are. Are people putting their funds under management when they're young and staying for life? Are businesses starting with this company and growing with them? Or is it pretty easy to chop and change between Prime Financial Group and other small business and, small and medium enterprise financial service providers? Because if it's pretty easy to chop and change and it's pretty easy to move your money around and there's not a lot of comparative advantage, I imagine that it would be a pretty brutal industry out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, share price is, nine and a bit cents? 9 1/3 cents?
Yep.
Which gives them a market cap of $15.5 million.
Yes.
So, not huge, but a bit bigger than some of the other companies we've looked at.
Yes.
Their income statement, so they made $21.3 million in revenue last year. So, the amount of revenue they brought in is 25% more than their market cap. No, more than that even. 33% more than their market cap. So that's not bad. Maybe you can get a bargain here. But unfortunately, they lost $1.1 million. So yeah. Not great.
No. For $1 billion under management as well, what their total revenue, 20 million, 21 million.
Yeah.
Okay. I would have thought it would be more than that, to be honest, but anyway.
Yeah, don't know. I didn't dig into it enough.
Yeah.
So the company claimed that the reason they lost money was there was a $3 million one-off loss by selling some investments. And that was that whole thing I was talking about before, how they were diversifying away. They were getting rid of non-core assets or non-core businesses.
Right.
So they're saying they made a loss selling some of those, but it streamlined the company. And so they wouldn't have actually made a loss if it wasn't for that $3 million. So that's the sort of the income they made. Any other points to add there?
Unlike most of the other companies that we have discussed, this one did pay a dividend last year of 1 cent, not massive.
But not bad if the share price
pays. It still pays.
Yeah, yes. And if the share price is 9 cents.
Yeah, that's the important part. As a yield, it's a 10% yield. So we won't go into that detail because we do an episode on it. So if you want to understand what we're talking about there and go into a bit more detail with the dividends, check out our dividend episode. But it's just worth pointing out that it does pay a dividend. And essentially what that means is that you get distributed some of their profits twice a year. And so you can generate some income from this stock without having to sell it for a capital gain, which is something that the other companies that we've looked at this summer series haven't been doing. So that's probably worth calling out.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. So balance sheet, Ren.
Yes.
This is where the fun starts.
This was interesting. So to start with, you look at how much debt they have. 7.7 million net debt. I mean, that's given their market cap is 15 million, that's not ideal, but it's not that bad. But then you come across something surprising. They have $60 million in total assets.
Huge.
Now, for a company that's worth $15 million, according to the market, if you can buy $60 million worth of assets for $15 million, you're laughing. You, as an investor, all you want the company to do is you want to buy as much of that company as you can and then hope the company sells those assets and then just pays you and you could make four times your money.
Ren, it sounds too good to be true.
It does, doesn't it?
It sounds too good to be true.
So then you okay. Do a little bit of digging and you see that of that $60 million in assets, $48 million of it is in intangible asset.
Okay, goodwill.
Yes. So let's for people who aren't familiar, let's make the distinction. Tangible assets are things like your plant and equipment. So if you own office buildings, if you own a manufacturing facility, if you're a trucking company, if you own your trucks, so they're tangible physical assets, things like land. And you can sell them.
Sell them, yeah. That's the key.
Yeah. Now, the other intangible are things like brand. You know, it's worth, your brand is worth something, but you can sell it as part of the company, but it's not physical. You can't touch it. So, 48 million of it, of the 60 million, is intangible assets. So, then you take one more step and you say, where's that intangible asset? Because if it's $48 million worth of trademarks and patents, you might be laughing. You might have some...
Yeah.
Great IP that's protected. Unfortunately, that's not the case here.
What have they done?
43.9 million of that is goodwill.
Mm.
Now, this is an interesting term, and it's important to define, because goodwill doesn't just mean how much your customers like you. It's not that your customers have so much goodwill for you that it's valued at three times the value of your company. Goodwill is a term used when a company acquires another company, and it's the excess value that can't be attributed to actual assets, so plant, equipment, inventory. So if you give a really simple example, let's say Bryce and I own a business. I buy Bryce's business for $10. Bryce's business is made up of a dollar's worth of inventory that I take ownership of, a dollar's worth of property that I take ownership of, and a dollar's worth of intellectual property that I take ownership of. So that's $3 worth of like assets that you can attribute value to as part of me buying his company for $10. But then there's another $7 there that aren't attributed to anything. And you to balance your books, you need to record that on your balance sheet somewhere because you paid for it. Otherwise, you lose that value, evaporates into thin air straight away.
Yeah.
So you attribute that value on your balance sheet as goodwill. Now, what does that mean in the context of this company, Prime Financial Group? So this company has $43.9 million worth of goodwill, and the company as a whole is only worth $15 million. So that means it has paid when it's been acquiring companies, it has paid over three times its total value just in the over and above, like in excess price when they're acquiring something. So that means it, when goodwill is this high, it's a big red flag. And it's a big red flag because it means, well, one, the company probably isn't that price sensitive when it's acquiring other companies, and it's probably not that good at acquiring other companies. But it also means that the company is likely going to have to write down that goodwill in the future.
Yeah.
Because that it's unlikely that if the market is saying the company is only worth $15 million, it's unlikely the company is actually carrying $44 million worth of goodwill. So over time, the company has to say, actually, you know, I might have paid $10 for Bryce's company, but it hasn't generated the returns that I expected it to. I'm going to write down some of that goodwill. And, you know, the company was, in hindsight, was only worth $5. And so you write down that difference and you wear that as a cost. That's a cost to your business. And you report that in your income statement.
Yeah.
And so what it will mean is that your profit numbers are hurt because of this, you're writing down this goodwill.
Yeah.
Your
assets are impacted. If you look at the fluctuation of this goodwill between 2014, 2018, in 2014, it was $49 million. And then the following year, 2015 and 2016, they've obviously bumped it down $35 million. So taking $14 million off the value of that, but now it's slowly bumped back up $40 million and now $43.9 million. Wow.
Yeah. And
it's also, so you were saying that it's the excess. So they're paying essentially three times more than what their company is worth. Would you say that's an indication then that it's actually poor buying decisions? Like when they're going in and buying these companies, they're just well overpaying?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's sort of that's the basis of it. Yeah, that they're paying a lot more than like the physical, the value creating assets that you can list on your balance sheet elsewhere, and then they're not realizing that value because, you know, in theory, what would happen is I buy your company for $10 and I wear that on my balance sheet, but over time the value of your company grows. Because obviously if I paid for it, I expect to get a return on it. And so then the value of all the other assets on my balance sheet appreciate over time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm buying more plant, buying more equipment, opening more shops, buying more inventory. And so the goodwill number isn't so outsized.
Yeah.
Where the goodwill number is so outsized that it's worth three times the value of the company itself.
Yeah.
What you're saying is that the acquisitions that it's made haven't led to that appreciation in the broader company. So, and the fact that what you were talking about before, how they've written down millions and millions of worth of goodwill in the past and then they've just added it to it again and now it's higher than it was before, seems to indicate that they just go in cycles of acquiring companies, not realizing their value, writing down the goodwill, and then doing it all over again.
Yeah.
So to me it seems like they're just not great at acquiring companies.
Yeah, really poor at it. So if you take that out of their asset, you're looking at $17 million in total assets if you take out the goodwill. Of course, you probably wouldn't take out the full 43. There'd probably be some fairer value, but let's say for argument's sake, you take it all out. $17 million brings it much more in line with market expectation. But then you have a look at their liabilities and they've got $16.1 million in liabilities. So it comes out pretty net flat, really.
So I think when you think about this company, the way you would look to invest in it is for the income that it's producing. And I know it lost money last year, but it had positive cash flow, so that's something. But you wouldn't be looking to invest in it as in sort of a play on its assets, just because the value creating proposition of this company is, you know, it's bringing, it's earning income from the services. It's a services company, really.
Yeah.
It offers wealth management services, and it offers business advisory and accounting services. And you, as a part owner of that business, would expect to just every year to profit from the income it makes from those services. So yeah, I haven't done a full process of valuing it, but that's probably where I would start in
trying to
figure out what fair value is.
Yeah. Nice, Ren. So yeah. I guess the question is, we've both concluded that we don't really like the way that they're going in terms of this venture capital.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And then if you put that next to this goodwill number and start to understand that maybe they're not the best at actually allocating their capital, then, you know, it's probably one to steer clear of for the moment. Because as you said, there's going to come a point in time where they will have to address this situation of the goodwill, and by writing that down in whatever way they do it is certainly going to impact the valuation of the company.
Yeah, and I think you tied those two things together nicely there. If we're not confident in its ability to acquire businesses, and we say that in its goodwill number, why would we be confident in their ability as venture capitalists to invest in businesses?
Yeah, exactly. We wouldn't be.
No. And so for this one, I'll probably...
No deal.
Let it go through to the keeper.
Well, that brings us to the end, Ren, unless you've got any other final thing to say about PFG.
No, but we could do a whole episode on BFG.
Let's let that go through to the keeper as well. if we want to start another podcast on Roald Dahl fiction books, then...
Yeah, well, we do. We will have book club coming up soon.
Yes.
Hopefully by this point, we've slogged our way through the book that you chose for summer. I'm glad we got 2 months for it.
Well, I'll just take this opportunity to remind everyone that is still listening to us over the summer, and if you have just joined the show, Ren and I do have a book club that we kicked off in October or November last year. Jump onto our website to look at the books that we have previously been reading. Some of them have been absolute crackers. It was my turn to choose the book for our summer break. Luckily, it is our summer break, Ren, because we're going to need every single day of the 2 months that we are going to read this book over, December and January. It's Titan, The Life of John Rockefeller Sr. And it's a very long read,
yeah.
To say the least.
It's a good book. It's interesting, but it is long.
Yes.
If you're thinking about joining the book club now, you're probably not going to finish the book in time, but join us still. It's definitely worth it.
Absolutely. Go back and read the one that we read in November, the little book that still beats the market. Absolute classic. And if you've just joined the show and have started investing, there's probably no better one to start. I think it's a really good one. So jump on the book club. And Ren, that brings us to the end of our summer series. We'll be back live on air the next episode.
Next week, yeah. Yes. With some 2019 bold predictions.
2019 bold predictions, a wrap-up of our predictions from 2018. Who walks away with the cases of beer? Well, they were single beers, I'm pretty sure. But also, Ren, some very exciting news to share in terms of a big event that we'll be hopefully kicking off in March, April. So stay tuned, and I hope everyone's had a great summer and continues to do so. We've had a lot of fun doing this, and if this is something you would like us to continue to do throughout the year, then obviously let us know and we'll continue to do so, because I think we've, Ren, both certainly learned a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Equity Mates and the people appearing in this program may have positions in the companies mentioned. This is general advice only. Please speak to a financial professional to understand how it may pertain to your individual situation.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.